heart. We worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's not just about something we do intellectually and we're looking around the room and we're singing, well, about a nice sing-along we're having today. No. There's a divine connection, and there is a place in the spirit where we can go, where we make that connection to life, Jesus himself. And when we find that, we just want to go with it. It's like it's going on an adventure, on a journey with Jesus. We don't have to be stuck to some, you know, traditional way. Oh, well, why do we do it this way? Because we always do it that way. You know, that's gotten us in a lot of trouble, hasn't it? Just doing it because we always do it that way. And God's saying, well, I'm going to do a new thing. No, well, no, you can't, Lord, because we always do it this way. Yeah. Now, the truth doesn't change. The Word of God does not change. But his methods, his ways are mysterious. And he'll do some things that are not even making, if you will, I wouldn't say common, but they may not be logical to us, you know? You ever seen God do something that seemed illogical? Yeah. But then you just obeyed God, and afterwards you say, well, God. Because his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And, well, Steve and Bridget, I'm going to start with you. Just share a little with the folks of your experience.
Briefly. It's whoever likes to go to church, which I love to come to church, and it's like having church like all day long, you know, and coming to morning service, come to afternoon service, come to evening service. It's just like, man, it's just like so fulfilling. And something that I came back with is, you know, being in praise and worship and seeing all the people there and feeling like we're in God's heart, we're part of the heart of God, and each and everybody there is in God's heart.
Yeah.
And
for same reason.
Wow.
Same purpose.
And God's heart is not too small. And the more of us is there, the bigger God's heart gets, and our heartbeat is with God's heartbeat, okay? And our hearts beat with God's heart. And something that I, okay, what would we call her, the cat lady? Okay, but you know what I got from that? What I got from that, and sometimes we hoop and holler around here, and which is good. You know, you're making a pot of stew or something, and you start putting spices in it. And those spices are not arguing with each other. They complement each other.
Okay.
And that's what we bring with us is we're the spice for
God.
Yeah,
diversity of the...
Yeah. Yeah. And whoa, God's got a beautiful thing when he's done with us.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to complement each other. Yeah, and, wow, it's great. Oh, Debbie.
Well, you said what I was going to say. I'm serious. Between all the workshops that we had and all the sessions that we had, the different speakers, what I really liked seeing was all of us. I mean, there's probably, you know, I don't know, 4,000 people, 5,000, I don't know, in there. And we were just together for the same purpose. And I can't help but think about, I keep seeing this picture of God up in heaven with all these little, like, stars, they're spirits around his throne, and they're all going, pick me, pick me, pick me. And he sends them down, they're babies in the womb. And it's his spirit. So, you know, I'm just getting that. I just love this idea. And then so we have his spirit in us, and, like, then we connect when we're all, you know, thinking about Jesus and stuff. And then we go back to him when we die. And it's just, I just love seeing that picture. So there, it's like we're all joining in one spirit. And I've talked to a few of my friends about that spirit thing, because in the Bible it says we're all joined in one accord, in one spirit. So, like, my friend and I are thinking, so I think eventually we're going to have, like, mental telepathy, but it won't be mental, it'll be spirit telepathy. We Well, just know what people are thinking, which that's what you're going to talk about. I hope if you don't, I will. No. It's just such a blessing. Yesterday morning, we made a fire tunnel for the youth to go through and blessing them. So April can start from the fire tunnel.
Oh. Well, that was definitely the highlight of my trip was I just let God be God, and my brain went somewhere, and my spirit just started doing its thing, and I just started touching people and giving them words of knowledge, and just the spirit around those children. It was they called the older generation, 30 and above, to make a tunnel, and then the 20 and younger went through. And I just was touching these kids as they were coming through, and God was just showing me who they were in the spirit, and some of them were just, wow, just fire. There was one boy in particular. He was a tall young man, and I could just see the flaming sword of the spirit, and there was a gentleness, but such a strength in him. Mm-hmm. And I just started just telling him all these things that I was seeing, and just telling him all these beautiful things that are a part of him, this valor and this strength. And then I looked up at him and opened my eyes, and his head was bowed, and he was so humble, and he had tears just dripping off of his nose.
Wow.
And he just, I don't know what God has planned for that young man, but wherever he goes, things are going to happen.
Yes.
Big, 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 big. You could just feel the flames of fire just coming off of him, you know, just almost physically touch it. It was amazing.
Wow. Deborah, did you want to say anything? Or?
I don't know if I want to say anything yet.
Okay, well, just.
Well, I experienced no pain. I have a lot of pain in the back. I have a lot of pain in my back that after a while it starts really hurting. But now I can praise the Lord even more freely than I ever have. But I think what really pointed out to me inside, I was hurting. I couldn't forgive myself. God brought the vision to me. You know how a baby is born with no sin, really? I mean, when you look at a child, okay, when you give childbirth, and you have that baby in your hand, you don't see any sin. You don't see anything wrong with that baby. That baby is so precious to you. You have no anger at that child. I mean, he melts you as soon as he's born. He melts your heart. And that's the way God is. When you go to him and you ask him for forgiveness, he throws it all away and he looks at you as new again.
Yes.
As a new birth. And it's hard sometimes to forgive yourself. And I had to learn through this deal that I had to forgive myself and let go of it. And that's what I got out of it.
And that leads into what I was going to say, is I was reminded about how powerful forgiveness is in by the blood of the Lamb, because it opens the door for God's healing. And it's just an awesome reminder.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Did you want to say anything, John, or are you?
Sure.
Here, let me come. I'll come back to you.
The thing I got out of it was where I look at this, it's a new revival, and to see that many people from various nations and from the U.S., it just was impressive. And we have our own way of worshiping the Lord, and neither one is greater than the other. It's like your foot, your toe, your eye. Mm-hmm. It's one army in Christ. And the thing is focusing on God and looking for his face. And I want to thank Steve and Bridget for putting up for me and Chuck taking us over there for the travel over there. And it was something to see that many people worshiping. And that I think there was one big silk white flag that he had in the back there that was like 20 by 60. and they had like 10 people, and they flipped this thing up, and it would rise up, and then they'd come through. The first two would lead through, and then the others would follow through, and it'd rise up again. And it was really impressive to see. It was very expensive, because if it was silk, you're talking about thousands of dollars, and trying to keep it clean and everything. But the flags going around there, if they could get them in unison, the different flags was impressive to see there.
Chuck, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Wow, there's so much that went on. It's like camp was awesome. It's kind of like, I was trying to jot down a few of the highlights. Just one of the themes was shift happens. The shift that's taking place. There's a shift taking place, and there's a new awareness of the church, realizing that we have an open heaven, and that's my cry this morning, just before service, was, Lord, just draw us in under that open heaven this morning, Lord, and even those that are hesitant, because, we want to figure things out, and well, that's unexplainable, so therefore, I'm gonna go and say that's not of God. No, we can't have that mindset. And one of the analogies that was given was somebody who, when they discover a new painting, they find an expert who studied that artist. They think this is a Rembrandt. Okay, so we're gonna find experts who have studied Rembrandt. And we're going to bring these paintings in, and they're going to study the brush strokes, they're going to study everything. Does this look like something that Rembrandt would have done? It's a new piece of art, never seen before. And that's how we need to be as followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. Just, does this look like, does this have God's signature on it? Not, has it been done before? Because just look how Jesus healed. He spit in the ground, put mud in someone's eye, and then next time he did it another way, The Lord's trying to break our methodology, the mythologies, and wanting us to enter into a new, just a relationship with him. Yeah, there's weirdness out there, but the Lord will give us discernment, to discern the spirit, if that's of the flesh or not. Yeah. And, we can address it when it comes, but we need to step out of our comfort zone. And I said, well, when I have this thing figured out, I'll step into it. No, we need to just say, I don't know what this is, Lord, but I want it. I want an open heaven. I don't care what it looks like. And, this lady was up there. The lady you guys are talking about, I call her Dolphin Lady because she's like, wee! I was like, but, I remember I turned to Pastor and I says, did you sense something break in the spirit right then? It was crazy. It was undignified. But something broke in the spirit when she did that. And it's like, praise God. I don't understand it. I don't need to understand it. What's that? Yeah, just leave it. It's like a spice, yeah. Accept it accept it. Now, was there her in that? Of course, because we partner with Christ. When I play drums, there's me in those drums. I was listening to that drummer this weekend, and I go, well, that's great. I would have done it differently. It doesn't matter. It's the same anointing, And I really realized, I knew this, but I really realized that the drummer really sets the heartbeat of worship. And that's one thing I try to get in prayer before every service. And not only me, but all of you help set that heartbeat as well. So that's why it's important for us to enter in. Say, Lord, I want to be under that open heaven. Amen.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Chuck.
He's a good preacher. Claudia, you want to share? Let me just say something before you share. Manifestations of the Spirit. I can tell you from experience, and some of you will probably agree with me, but there's some stuff that looks so good out there. And looks so right, that's totally corrupt. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't always tell by the way things appear whether they're of God or not. I've seen some people that they were suit and tie, they looked and smelled right, but they were nasty people. If you step on their toe, there was nastiness, you know? On the other hand, you got some people that might be called, referred to as squirrely or flaky or whatever. Some people think I'm a little flaky, and I'm guilty. But seriously, you know, God will again, it's about identifying who the author of it is. And if you have studied in and you know the Word and you know the Spirit of God because by experience you have come to discern between good and evil, that even though it may appear to be a little bit kooky or flaky or something you hadn't seen before, I mean, you know, God will do stuff that you haven't seen before. In fact, most of the time, when it's God, you hadn't seen it before. Did you catch that? Most of the time, if it's God, you hadn't seen it before. And he brings you into different things and different experiences and different ways that he's going to do something. So God, we can't put him in our box and say, God looks like this. Now, we know that his attributes, his character does not change. But his methodologies are constantly keeping us off course, I mean, or off kilter. Because he's just an awesome God. And if we could figure him all out, he wouldn't be God. But... again, it's discernment that the Spirit of God gives us to know this is of God, this is not. And so let's not be so quick, okay, to judge someone because they don't happen to worship God the way that we do. Religious people will put you in their box and say, it has to look like this because that's how I look. Come on. The spirit of religion is one that is not embracing diversity within the same spirit, that is, but it's uniformity to my standard. And it will choke the life out of a church if a religious spirit is allowed to operate. Now, I've found that very much when the Spirit of God is moving, there may be different manifestations, and not everybody's going to understand everything, and I don't understand everything that the Lord does. But it's not going to be out of order. How many caught that? It's not out of order. Our idea of out of order is having somebody walk around with a ruler and slap your knuckles if you get out of line of what their perception of how you should live and be in the Lord in the anointing should look like. Come on. Has anybody been subjected to that? We want to put people in our box. Why? Because that's the box where we're comfortable. And so we even try to put God in our box because when God moves, it's usually taking us or stretching us beyond where we've been into a place of unpredictability where it's usually uncomfortable and scary. So what we have to do is reduce God to our own understanding, put him in our box and say, God, you're allowed to move right there. But if it goes outside of this, then, you know, I'm just not going to go there. Faith is active. Faith is moving beyond, amen, what you can do normally or naturally, should I say. If our level or standard of Christianity is just that which we can do naturally, it's not faith at all. What God wants is for his kingdom to invade this kingdom. Amen? To overpower the kingdom of darkness. To invade Satan's domain, to bring in heaven into this earth realm, to destroy his works. And so, we've got to be open to what God is doing to allow that. Because God put it in our hands. You and I are the ones that have to activate that, folks. Remember? God's given it to the church. He says, and when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven. Amen? Worship. Holy is your name. We start with worship. And we pray what? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We have to activate it by faith. We have to bring the invisible kingdom of God into this
natural realm by faith. We pull it in by faith. Now this morning, sitting up there, there's a battle going on every time you try to step out in faith. But I've learned to stomp on that part of unbelief. Amen. Stomp on the unbelief in my own heart and say, no. No place in me. You have no place in me. I'm going to believe God. When I pray for the sick, I believe God that they're going to be healed. Jesus said, believe in your heart that you receive it. And sometimes you're just going to have to get past self. You're going to have to get over yourself to move out for God. Amen. To be used of God, you're going to have to look away from yourself. Look away from your weaknesses. Look away from your insecurities and place yourself totally in the hands of the Lord. And it's when you're in the hands of the Lord and in my weakness is His strength. Now I'm going to start preaching here. So Claudia, what did you want to say?
I wanted to hear from Jesus. I mean, it's just, she's just shining. And you know, so I'm physically so tired, but you know, so much blessing. And even I'm there, then worshiped in a lot of different way. People, it's a lot of different way what you do it, and a lot of different kind people. Then, you know, there's some of other understanding, but understanding, you know, some lady up there then dancing, it's okay, but she's screaming some reason we never heard about before. What's wrong with this woman? Oh my goodness, what's wrong with this woman, Lord? That like a letter, she, maybe she's personality. Maybe she way to, maybe she bless God. I don't know, but, you know, weird to me. You know, quiet night, then it's, okay, I understand she's man of, woman of God. You know, I know that her husband's an excellent worship leader, so anointed, and I'm enjoying the worship, so God bless, touch him. Even I'm tired. Yeah, even I fall asleep. It's so one night, this is, Peter Johnson speak that night. It's worship and some testimony is going on. Then it's so quiet that Peter Johnson speak of that so gently, nicely, so deep in making us understanding easier that she spoke about so blessing. It's so quiet. This end of his speak is so quiet. And Lord, what's going on? Why so? It seems like nothing happening, Lord. So quiet. He speak, he stop, and so quiet. And then, since a little while later, I don't know everybody heard about the sounds or not, that, you know, sounds like a heaven's opening. Yeah. Even quietness, so quiet. Nobody speak anything. No instrument, no singer. I look at the stage, nobody's playing anything, so okay. So something coming slowly, moving in something, sounds heaven. I think heaven. Yeah. There's music, yeah. Some kind of music, instrument, yeah. Sound, yeah. And then singer. Yeah. Then I heard about, yeah. Somebody's praying together. Sounds like this. Or I look at the stage. Some musicians play. There's nobody there. Oh, it's something. Okay, that study. I pray, Lord. Just you, Lord. Just heaven. This angel singing. Sound is so beautiful, holy sound. Even musical sound, but not this kind of instrument sound. It's a musical sound, musician sound. And so beautiful. I don't know, everybody heard about it. I heard about it. I hear that. Judas heard that. I'm hear that. So beautifully.
Yeah, I think we all were heard. I believe there was definitely the heavenly choir. It was mingled in with the worship of the people of God, because it was so beautiful. It was like, there's no way this is just earthly music here. It was just beautiful, like angelic voices were breaking through and mingled in with the people of God. And listen, the angels are with us even here as we are worshiping. We had a young lady, and we should not be surprised at that. I mean, we are in the presence of an innumerable company of angels. Amen. We are actually in that place in the spirit, and we can harbor and bring that in through worship. Amen. They will come and they will just fill the place. And there's been a young lady here. I'm not going to mention her name, but she has been hearing angels. How many times? About four, I think five Sundays in a row on Sunday morning, she's been hearing the angels singing. Hallelujah. Claudia. Oh, Claudia. I thought you were passing the buck.
God met everybody individually.
Yeah.
And took care of their heart and their spirit individually. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it so awesome. I was going through the hall and there was this lady, and of course I met her with the, "Hi, how you doing?" You know, da 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 da. And she looked up at me and she says, "Somebody just told me that I'm loved." And this is an adult woman, you know. And of course I threw my arms around her, you know. And then God gave me a word for her. She was a Eskimo lady, and what God did for her is he let her know how valuable she was and how much he loved her and how important she was. And I says, "And you're going to go back to your tribe in Alaska," and I says, "They're going to see a change." And it was just awesome. We had visions. We had blind eyes opened physically. We had metals in the body dissolve. We had, but the main thing is that everybody there was dealt with, ministered to privately in their own need. And there was like 5,000 people there. And I just, for me, I have been praying for my family. And all of my children are not saved. All of them. And they were talking, the theme of this place was lions and horses. You know? And charging the gates. And it was like, God had opened the skies for us to we can accept the blessings coming down and we can give them going back up. And supernatural things are going to start happening that we're not used to. And I'm just real excited about that, because that's all right, here I am, Lord. Okay, well, the thing is 25 years ago, I had a real, real hard struggle with identity and who I was and where I fit, because I'm not this little feminine little thing that is just, I'm not, but I never fit, you know. And marriages were going down. And so here I am, and I went through some counseling, and the man, I had a real bad attitude, you know, when I walked in there. And after the counsel, he says, "Well, I just feel like I need to pray for you." And I says, "Take your best shot, boy. I've been prayed for before." And but he didn't know that, you know. So he laid his hands. He just laid his hands on my shoulder, and he says, "I break the spirit of fear, rejection, and anger." I mean, I had so much anger, I was going out in the woods and blowing away bears and cougars. I mean, and I just, pew, pew, pew. Serves you right, you know, I found you. You know, but when those chains fell off me, they had me so bound. Then I didn't know I was bound. I didn't know I had anger. I didn't know this. And then, this is 25 years ago that he opened that cocoon, and he said, "With the true Claudia Douglas, please stand forth." And I'm going, "Oh, okay, Lord." And I went and I thought, "Oh my God, Lord, a butterfly just lets its wings dry for a while and then it flies." And I thought, "Holy smokes, God, where am I going to fly?" And it just left. Well, as I was standing there, God brought it all back. And I'm in motion. And I've caught the spirit of the Holy Spirit. I've caught its wings, and I'm flying. I don't know where I'm flying, but praise God, I'm flying.
We're going to let you fly, too.
So I hope you all got real good and jealous. So next year you'll go. But, you know, that's a good thing to covet, right? Hallelujah. Well, I don't see how anybody could not be there and not be impacted and not... there's no doubt about it. God is definitely doing something right here in this place that we're only seeing the very elementary stages of what's coming. And another interesting thing was Cal Pierce, who is heads up the organization of the Healing Rooms, was also speaking to a vision that God showed him of the white horse with the staff, and interesting enough, listen to this, where the staff would hit, lightning would go out, which is the launching of ministries. Now, how many have heard that sometime here soon recently that was prophesied in this very church? Larry came, they had not consulted. It's just what God is doing. He's got pockets in places strategically set up right now for harvest increase, for advancement of the kingdom. God, thank you. We're gonna walk in it, Lord, as you give us light, as you show us. Lord, we want to be very careful because we don't want to miss what you're doing. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 this morning. But before we do, I want you to turn to John chapter 5. And I just want us to look at this because this has got to be the attitude of our hearts. This has got to be the place of operation. If we're going to accomplish anything eternal for God, it's going to have to be done not out of strife or anxiety or works, our own works. It has to be out of rest. It has to be out of a place in the Spirit where we are in communion and intimacy with the Lord, where we are worshipers to the degree that we are hearing the voice of the Lord clearly. And when we hear the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord is living. Amen? The word of the Lord is quickening. It's living. And it's powerful. And the Lord will speak to us and give us an instruction. He will give us an assignment. And so from there, we simply just need to be obedient and to step out and do what He tells us to do. We're not going to get the full picture, the full revelation. I know some of us, we just want God, just give me the whole thing. Show me the entire picture of what my life is going to look like, where I'm going from here. But that's not how God operates. God takes you step by step into His perfect, pleasing, acceptable will. And you will be able to walk this out, live this out, by worshiping Him. When we are worshipers of God, we will hear His voice. My sheep hear my voice. His sheep are worshipers of God. We worship in song. Yes, we worship in thanksgiving. We worship in praise to God. We worship in prayers and supplications and intercessions. Amen? We worship God in giving. We worship God with our entire life. Our life is to be an expression of worship to God. It's not something that we just reduced down to a few moments on Sunday morning. How many agree with me? Yes. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. We are to allow the life of God to be manifested in us and through us.
And wherever you go, the Lord is with you. You are in an open heaven wherever you are because you have the door within you. His name is Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? He's the door. And so, out of worship, we come to discern the will of God. And I'm going to get into this in a couple... I'm not going to be here next week, but in a couple weeks, I'm going to get into this a little bit about the different ways that God speaks to us. Some of us are very visual. In fact, some people have visions and dreams all the time. They see things, pictures, and they speak in pictures. And then you have those who are more audible. They hear things. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, a visual person, do you see what I'm saying? And then you have those who are kinetic. They're the ones who are feely, touchy-feely people. And there's nothing wrong with that because God also gives us a discernment that can be felt. You sense. And everybody says, I smell a rat. You're discerning. You're feeling. You're sensing. Something is not right about this picture. Or you sense, man, that was God. Now, you didn't see a picture, you didn't hear a voice saying, I'm God, but you sensed that that was God. And so, because you don't happen to be a visionary or a person that necessarily moves in that type, that way, does not mean that you're weird, does not mean that you're less spiritual, it just means that God has designed each member of His body differently. We are very diverse, and yet we are all part of the same body. And the problem we have, again, is we try to put everybody in our box of understanding and they're supposed to understand the way I do. They're supposed to operate and act the way I do. And pastors, if they're not careful, they can actually hinder the work of God in people's lives by trying to put everybody in His congregation into their box for fear that someone might be getting a bigger piece of pie or somebody may be running off here and do their own thing. You know what? We have to trust God with His people. Amen. God will take care of His own people. How many believe that? Yes. Amen. Now, I do know this, that if we, in our diversity, are tuned to Jesus, listening to Jesus, then we won't be pulling in two different directions. Right? We will all be going in the same direction. If this is your assignment, if this is where you're supposed to be, then we will be together, we will work together, and for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. So in our diversity, we still, as you said, so I thought it was so well said about the spices. How the different spices can be fragrant and beautiful together. And what we do is we judge each other based upon our own standards. And not the standard of the Lord. We judge others based upon our own standard. The publican and the Pharisee say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. We compare ourselves to others. And unfortunately, if we do judge people according to our standard, we end up causing division. We end up scattering the people of God. Rather than going beyond maybe even the surface of things or the personality of the person and no longer judging according to the flesh, but judging according to the new man created in Christ Jesus, going beyond sometimes the surface quirks of... How many here besides myself have quirks? Everybody should have their hands up. We all have our quirks. We're diverse, and we're all a work in progress. Some of us are a greater piece of work than others, but... And I know I'm a piece of work. So. Recognizing, discerning the body of Christ. Because if we don't do this, then what we do is we end up putting the water on the fire. Of a vessel that God is maybe raising up for a very unique and special mission.
There are those who are quieter among us, and there are those who are, obviously, in this place, noisier. And I'm probably a noisier one. But because somebody is not noisy like me does not mean that they're less spiritual. Would you agree? In fact, sometimes the louder the people... No. I'm kidding. But we're different. We're diverse. We have different giftings, different callings, different personalities. There's not another one of you on the planet. So I don't have to try to be anybody else, you know? Like the kids are running around, and of course, when you were kids, it was probably Elvis, right? Some of you. Or the Beatles, or whatever your persuasion was. Or the kids, you know, a few years ago, it was Britney Spears. I don't know who it is today. You know, the little girl's trying to look like Britney Spears or Michael Jackson or whoever it was. You know, they're trying to be a standard, an inferior standard. You don't compare yourself to other people. You want to be conformed in the image of your God, amen, through Jesus Christ. If we can identify and understand that in our diversities, it's all good. It's all good. It's good to be different. How boring life would be if we were all the same, right? And so just because somebody worships God differently than I do, it's not my place to judge them. Amen? Because they're His property. And who knows what God's doing in the heart, what's going on in the heart of that person? God knows the hearts. Man judges according to the outward appearance. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to get caught up into trends, even styles. You know, well, what's the style? Some people are style people. That's okay. You want to dress according to the style. I don't know what the style is anymore. And if you look at the way I dress, you just never know. I create a new style. But, and hey, Sue, too, she wear orange pants with a lime green shirt and some, and Judy, who's more style conscious, said, "Mom, take those pants off." But it's not about clothing. It's not about external things. It's not about the way you do your hair. Or it's none of that. It's about a matter of you and I being the family of God, connected in the heart. Amen? To one another through Jesus Christ. We are one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism into Him. Amen? And so therefore, we have to be very careful that we walk, amen, before the Lord as an individual carefully. And walk carefully, and this is the word the Lord gave me years ago. He says, walk carefully among my sheep. Yes. And I don't always do that, but I try to. Walk careful. Why? Because you and I belong to Jesus. Yes. I don't own you, and you don't own me. No man owns me. I'm His property. You're His property. So you're His possession. And so my job is sometimes is scary because I do not want to misrepresent the Lord to you. And I don't want to in any way hurt you or harm you or send you off in the wrong direction. It's very serious. Because Jesus paid for you and I with His blood. That's how much of a cost it was. Amen? For us. Going to celebrate that in the Lord's Supper. But see, there's nothing new under the sun. The same problems we have today, they had in the time, you know, where Paul wrote the New Testament, the early church, and how there were divisions among them. And there was divisions across sometimes racial lines, sometimes depending on what type of bank account you may have, you know. Somebody's class line, if you will. There was divisions along those lines. Others were being disrespected because they, you know, they came in and they didn't have the best clothes on, or they didn't hang out with the Joneses, or you know, a certain persuasion of people. And then you have people who are trying to be somebody they're not because they feel if I can be like that person, then I'll have gained some respect. Anybody ever got caught up into that trap? When you're a teenager especially, that's the time in your life when you're trying to find your identity. you know? So I don't know about you, but I went through all kinds of identity changes during my teen years. I went from being the nerdy top of the class kid in sixth grade to being the totally stoned out of his head druggie in high school. And then from there, and I went into the Army, then I started hanging out with different types of people, and just still, and when I was in my early 20s, trying to discover who I was, where I fit. And you know what? I come to realize something. I don't fit anywhere in this world. I don't fit any of those groups. I'm just me. And you're just you. So be happy for who you are. God made you unique. You're special to Him. So we can just be ourselves and relax and be ourselves. And if they don't understand you or don't dig you or whatever, it's like, hey, it's not going to affect me any. God likes me. And God made me the way I am. And guess what? I like me too. I'm not going to be controlled by the opinions of men. And in church, the religious spirit will put you in control to conform to their standard. There's one clap back there. Well, we're going to keep kicking that thing out. Amen. If it tries to come in, we're going to kick it out. Because we are the people of God and we are a family. Amen? It's not an institution, it's a family. And so we got to understand and recognize in the Spirit who we are. You know what, everybody, if you spend enough time around me, you're going to see some quirks in me too, right? Maybe, no, she's saying no, she just spent 4 days with me, so there's no quirks in me. That's good, actually. She's going, yeah, boy, howdy. We'll talk later. No. It's okay to be you. It's okay. And because if you're not you, the world is not going to receive the blessing that is you. Listen. We talk about that thing about, oh, less of me and more of you. You know what? God wants you to be you in the anointing. Yes. It's not about I'm some kind of like devoid of personality robot that's just controlled by the Spirit. Now, in paganism, what you do is you kind of give yourself over to the Spirit. Okay? And the Spirit controls or possesses the shaman. But in the Lord, it's a voluntary cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We walk with the Lord. Amen. He made us the way we are. He loves you the way you are. But He wants you just to walk with Him and be who you are. If you've got creativity in your life, be creative for God. Amen? Yes. Yes. Whatever your talents are, whoever you are, use that for the glory of God. Man, we need people in all the different arenas. We need them in politics. We need them in the school. We need them in the arts. We need people in the family, amen? Yes. That are going to be influencers, that are going to bring the kingdom in and influence societies. We can't do that if we just put everything into the box of Sunday morning experience. And everything revolves around the church thing that we do here. This is the equipping station. This is a salvation station. Yeah. This is a place where we get filled up and we get encouragement and we get strengthened and we celebrate Jesus together. Yeah. Yeah. And then what we have, wherever we go, we are to release the fragrance of Christ and shift the atmospheres around us. Yes. Invade the darkness. And we can't do that if we just hang out in the light. We got to be wherever the people are, wherever the darkness. Thank God that we came to Shelton, because that means we're going to shine even brighter. Amen? Where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. So we're not looking at the darkness saying, man, it's dark. It's saying, thank God it's dark, because then we can shine brighter in the darkness. And it's not dark if you and I just simply be the light. It's that. That's it. It's the church. Church needs to be the light. So Jesus said, don't put your lamp under a bushel. Let it shine. Believe me, you got more power in you than the devil, amen? Come on. You just let that light shine, the devil's going to tremble. But he wants to fake you out. He wants you to believe. You better not let your light shine. We can't be sparing ourselves anymore. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 19, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." Nothing? I looked up that word nothing, and it means nothing. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father doing. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Remember the commercial years ago? Some of you remember it. Like Father, like Son. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. God knows that we dig supernatural stuff. He knows that this is cool. You know, we like this stuff. I do. And it's in our DNA to be into spiritual things. And believe everybody worships something. Everybody is subject to something too, or someone. Yeah. Whether it's a law to yourself, you're subject to your own law, or the law of God. Amen. But we're subject to something. And so Jesus is saying here that I can't do anything except what I see my Father do and what I'm hearing Him speak. Now we know this, we've heard this, but this has got to be the rule of practice for us as believers, as we need to be worshipers, because worshipers receive instruction, receive revelation of Him. And out of a place of revelation, you will hear the word clearly, and when you obey the word, it's always going to work. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's bigger than you, because if it's God's word, it's usually bigger than what we can do. So Jesus operated by revelation. And as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And as He gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, He said, "Now teach them to observe all things." Amen? All things that I taught you. So what did they do? They healed the sick, cast out devils, raised the dead. They did all these things. Now, we have to get into a place where we are building ourselves, okay, spiritually, so that we are discerning the voice of the Lord. We study the Word, amen? We study the originals, like Chuck was saying, so that when the fake comes, we can see it right away. Because when a new painting comes out, it's not going to be the same painting. It's simply going to be, what, from the same artist. But it's going to look differently. So we study the original. And when the new thing God is doing comes out, we will see it. How be it that the Pharisees, who were the ones teaching about the coming of the Messiah, when He shows up, they didn't recognize Him. Because they were not able to worship in spirit. And it's the Spirit who searches the deep things of God and reveals the heart of the Father to us. Today we have the privilege of walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Of being worshipers of God in the Spirit. And to know Him. To hear Him. To see what He's doing. And when we do that, we operate out of that place. Hallelujah. Results. The reason why Jesus had results. And remember, even though Jesus was very God, He became a man like you and I. Stripped Himself of His glory so that He would teach us what it's like to walk with the Father. So you and I would have hope and say, look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? That's what we're supposed to do. He tells us in John, 1 John. Amen? That As he was in this world, so are we. We're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to walk like him. We're supposed to do the works that Jesus did. So we need to grow. We need to stretch. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. We need to build ourselves up. Amen. We need to worship. Worship. And come into a place where we're very well acquainted with the Father. And then there will be fruitfulness, because we won't be just clawing around in the darkness trying to figure out what's going on. But when we hear the shepherd and we are acquainted with his voice, there will be fruit, because what we see him do, we do, and what we hear him speak, we speak. And when we do that, there will always be results. Hallelujah. Now, we're all in the process. God is working. He's maturing all of us, myself included. I'm growing in this. You're growing in this. And so keep on. Keep on worshiping. Keep on drawing near. Keep on, amen, learning to discern his voice by studying the original. Amen? And this protects us, so that when a counterfeit comes, you say, nope, that ain't of God. Now, there was a few things that happened at the conference that, you know, I said, no, I don't agree with that. Okay. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't mean that because somebody, we have a disagreement with something that somebody had said, that it means that they're the Antichrist now. Because, you know, that happens. In a church, people are so dogmatic about their beliefs that if anybody disagrees with them, they become an enemy. Which is another tactic of the enemy to destroy the fellowship of believers. Yes. Now, I'd believe if somebody is getting off base with the truth that we in love, amen, we prayed up and it's the right time and the right place, and not exposing them publicly, but we go to that person and say, brother, what did you mean by that? First, ask him, what did you mean by that? Maybe you just didn't hear it right. You know, when Brother Larry was here, he talked about Leviathan and how that spirit gets a hold of people and wraps itself around people. And you could speak something that was totally anointed of God, and by the time that person got it, it was all scrambled in their head and they spit it out a different way. And that happens a lot. And so if we worship, we are really protecting ourselves from the deception. The enemy cannot stay in the same place of the glory. Yeah. Jesus said he has no place in me. Jesus was full. Amen. In him dwelled all the fullness. God gave him the Spirit without measure. So the devil had no place in him. And you know what? Jesus gave us an example for you and I to do the same. That the devil is not to have any place in any one of us. And there's a place where we can get to where we're doing that. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes and we don't sin. I'm saying that if you walk in the Spirit the way we're supposed to, the enemy just is not going to be able to control you anymore. He's not going to have that place in you. You know, we can literally squeeze him out of our lives. Oh boy, I can just keep going all day with this. The word, the entrance of your word brings light. The more of the word and the revelation of God that comes in, the less room the enemy has to hide out. Because he can only hide out in the darkness. Yeah. We can also, through worship, be so filled. Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. If you're that focused, the enemy will have it literally squeeze him out. And then you can also cast him out. But if you cast him out, you got to get filled up. And so, we look at the standard God's Word, and through worship, amen, we come to know the living Word. The living Word gives us revelation. We operate in revelation, and there's an invasion of heaven to earth. And the manifestation of God's kingdom and power, the devil's works are destroyed. God is glorified. We're happy. Amen? We get excited, man, when God is showing up and working through our lives. And it's not for special people who have plastic hair and white teeth. Amen? It's for you. It's for me. If we will present ourselves our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We present ourselves before the Father and say, here I am, Lord. All of me. Let Him in every room. Amen? Every room. Let Him in the attic. Let Him in the basement. Let Him in every room. So that your whole being will be full of His presence. And where the glory of the Lord is, hallelujah, the enemy cannot stay. And that's why we have dispersement. Even today, when you got touched by the Lord today, is because of the light invading the darkness and driving it out. Amen? So we want to, as individual clouds, we talked about this last week, being seated and being full and coming together corporately, we're creating a cloud of glory in this place that the devils just hate and they tremble and they run. Hallelujah. So, are you having fun? Yeah, enjoying this? I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians 11. I had to say that just to pacify you a little bit, appease you. First Corinthians 11 and verse 17. It's talking about the Lord's Supper here, conduct at the Lord's Supper. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. You know, Jesus said that the wheat and the tares will grow up together, right? It's not our place to be, you know, picking and choosing. It's let God, amen, be the judge. Because so often we misjudge. We misread somebody. Anybody beside myself ever do that? Okay, so we need to stop that, right? Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. What's going on there? Selfishness. Selfish ambition. And one is hungry and the other is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? Who is the church of God? And shame those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The number one prayer of Jesus, folks, for his church, is that we would be one. That we would be one. And this is impossible to do naturally. That's why we must abide in Him. We must be worshipers. We must stay in the Spirit and judge no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? From the heart. We recognize, we discern that we are family. His prayer that we would be one, one in Him, one in the Father. Therefore, he says, whoever eats the bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Folks, how many have thought about examining yourself as meaning just taking a look at myself and seeing if there's any sin in me? How many have just thought about it that way? Is it important that we examine ourselves that way? Is it possible for us to rightly examine ourselves that way? Well, there's a scripture that says every man's ways are right in his own eyes. And the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. We really cannot know our hearts the way God knows our hearts. And when God begins to reveal our hearts, it's scary sometimes, you know. But God never convicts us of sin for condemnation. He didn't come to condemn us. If we're convicted by our sin, it's because He's loving on you. And He's saying, here, I want to heal you. I want to cleanse you. I want to set you free. I died that you could be free from that. That sin would no longer be your master. You see, we have to shift our thinking away from being self-savior, of just looking down the list of do's and don'ts and whether or not I did well enough to merit communion. Because the fact of the matter is, none of us merit communion. It is by the grace of God only that we are saved. And so the examination has to be by the Spirit of God and not by ourselves. Amen? We have to pray and ask God to show us. And you know what God is all about? God is all about relationships. You want to know why God hates sin? It's because sin separates. Sin separates us from Him, but it separates us from one another. Sin always hurts others. People say, oh, what I do in my closet, in my own personal life, ain't going to affect anybody else. That's a lie. Sin always has consequences. Sin always hurts others. Sin is selfishness. And what was taking place in the Corinthian church is that they were being selfish, self-centered. They were serving themselves. They were judging one another. They were putting certain people down and elevating others. They were being cliquish. They were not listening to the instructions of the Lord. And that is that we would come together and that we would become one in Him. And because of the partiality, because of the judgmental spirit, because they were, you know, they were esteeming this one and abasing the other, God was not pleased. Jesus is the head of the church. Yes. I want you to hear this. We are the body of Christ. We are His body on the earth. The head is in heaven. The body is on the earth. Heaven and earth are one in Him. Amen? Amen? There is an open portal. The angels ascending and descending. We have an open access to the throne of grace. Not the throne of self-examine or self-exaltation. Not the place where we compare myself to somebody else. And if I'm doing better than Joe over there, then I must be more spiritual. God likes me a little bit more, and therefore I'll have a higher place in heaven. The fact of the matter of it, if it is that none of us could save ourselves. So God leveled the playing field. John said, every mountain will be low, every valley will be filled. There is one way, one truth, and one life, one way to the Father, and that's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not of works that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because what we do is in our works we pride ourselves, and when we are walking in pride, we exalt ourselves above another brother or sister. Why was it that the prodigal son, older brother, had such a problem with the son that was lost in the hog pen of life, and he comes back to the father, and the father said, hallelujah, let's have a party, he's home. And there was a celebration. But the older brother says, I've been with you. I never went out and squandered. We need to understand the mercy of God, don't we? For God so loved the world. That means He loves the Satanist. He loves the witch. He loves the fornicator. He loves the adulterer. He loves people. And God's number one thing, folks, is people. Loving others. Love one another as I have loved you. God, forgive us for that sin of partiality, of comparing ourselves to others as if we're something apart from Christ. The only righteousness that you have and I have is His righteousness. The only thing that's going to qualify me for my Father's presence is Jesus Christ. It's not in me. Paul the Apostle, the great Paul Apostle, who had so many reasons why he could have boasted about his life and his accomplishments, said it's nothing. The only thing that matters is that I know Him. God loves you. God loved me. He loved me before I knew Him. Before I ever called on Him, He loved me first. He was not willing that I should perish, or anyone should perish for that matter. He was waiting for His son, His daughter, to come home. Folks, if we can get a hold of this today, we start loving one another. Not because of the way somebody dresses or looks or their status in life, but because they are precious in the eyes of the Lord, and they should be precious to us because we are all, amen, like sheep who have gone astray. Every one of us. Remember the old chorus? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they will know that we are Christians by our love. Not by how righteous I appear to men. All right? Not because I'm doing better than Joe over there, but because of the love of God. Amen? That is in me. They will know we are Christians because they see that we have love one for another, that we are a family. And when people come to this church, they need to sense and know that this is safe. And I'll tell you, I'm very adamant about this, and some of you know this, but I will reason with people, I will talk with people, but if I see people starting to sow discord, you know, I'm going to talk to them, I say straighten it up. If they don't, I'm going to boot them out. I know some people say, oh, how can you do that? Because I love the people of God too much. I love, and I am responsible to protect His people. Read the book. It's in there. Therefore, we love. We don't have a problem here. I mean, this is, we're family. But the enemy is going to constantly try to come in. Amen? Wolves in sheep's clothing, to try to mess up what God is establishing, what He is doing. You want to know why? Because there's so much at stake here. People's eternal destinies are at stake right now. People are one heartbeat away from eternity. And there has to be a place where people can come and be healed and be restored and be loved on and be discipled. We cannot allow the enemy to run loose. As a matter of fact, God Himself said that He hates the one who sows discord among brethren. And that's why many were sick. Many had even prematurely died because of bitterness, because of unforgiveness. It is a cancer to the soul, unforgiveness. If God so loved us and gave Himself for us, then we should also give ourselves for the brethren. We should also, amen, deny myself the right to be right sometimes so that I can bring restoration. Sometimes in your relationships, in your marriages, you just simply have to be the one who is wrong instead of being right. For the sake of peace in the home. And the Spirit of God will bring revelation and understanding in time to the person who might have been wrong. But for the sake of peace, sometimes, folks, we just got to deny ourselves the right to be right. Isn't that the way with us? We got to be right, and we got to prove that we're right. Man, we can get into it with the Word. You know, the very thing that is supposed to bring us together has caused so much division. Why? Because, really, if you whittle away all the facade, it's selfish ambition. It's my pride. I made a point and I'm going to be right. Whew. I'm up here, you're down there. I don't argue with people anymore. I don't. I'll talk to them. If I start to see that the thing's starting to become an argument, I just say, okay, well, let's just shift gears here, change stations. You know, I'm tuning to 101.5 easy listening. And because if we come together and we're not edified, amen, then that's a shame, because we should all be mutually edified when we come together. But if we come together and we have a Bible study, anybody been in those heated Bible studies? Where instead of being refreshed and blessed and edified, it's like you walked away with just a sick feeling in your stomach because it was contention over some doctrinal difference you had. Do I believe in good teaching? Absolutely. But you're not going to force righteousness on anyone. It has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit do His job. Amen. All we are is the mouthpiece. We're just the delivery people. Just bring the goods, say, here it is. And let the Holy Spirit work the Word into that person. I have had people that totally disagreed with me, and I just let it go. I said, okay, well, you're entitled to your views, you know. And later on, you know, guess what? God began to deal with them. They began to see. Of course, I'm not the only one here, I'm sure, that has been convinced I was right about something and argue that point, and then later on find out, well, I guess I wasn't quite right. I'm still learning too. Hey, so we've got to love. The main thing, and I'm done, is how many times have I said that already? I only get 3 shots. That's 2. is love. It's not how much do you know. Did you know? It's not even so much how much did you accomplish, you know? How many rewards? It's how much did you love? Because God is love. And if it's not about love, folks, we're just a tangling, you know, jangling cymbal and just a resounding gong. We're just making a lot of racket, a lot of noise. But it's not going to build, it's not going to heal, it's not going to edify, it's not going to bring restoration into people's lives. We have to love people, and we have to love people beyond their faults, just like Jesus looked beyond our faults and He saw our needs. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died. My prayer is with Jesus is that we will be one. And we're going to be one not because we're tuned to each other or we all look alike or we're all uniform, but we're in unity in our diversity because we're all plugged into Jesus and we walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the flesh, amen? The sinful nature will not rule you. And that's where you have life and you have peace. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads for a moment?